Thank you, John. As the service was beginning, in one of those conversations you have just to sort of get to know one another as the church reconstitutes, we were talking about the fact that there used to be a fence along here, a low barrier, a boundary, and we got into the conversation about how the communion table used to be fenced. So those who were not church members were reminded that they couldn't cross the boundary and come to the table. And as we look at these two passages that are before us today, the one from John's Gospel and the second from the book of Acts, I wonder where the boundaries are today. I wonder what lines in the sand our society, our culture, your upbringing, those things your parents told you were you did or did not do. I wonder what boundaries have been laid down for you that you find difficult to cross. I wonder as a church what boundaries have been laid down. I wonder how what we have believed and what we have been taught and how we have wrestled with Scripture, I wonder how that has set boundaries which we say we do not cross this line in the sand. Now, I've not spent enough time in the archives to answer the question whether or not, as a church, those boundaries can be crossed. My guess is they have. The very fact that you have taken down the fence that once bound the communion table suggests there was a time when a boundary was crossed. But I wonder what changed the boundary. I wonder whether it was just social pressure, just it was a pressure of, you know, as a society, we don't believe this anymore, and so we're going to just cut this boundary down. Or I wonder whether it was changed because we wrestled with the gospel. We wrestled with what God's word said, and we stayed with it until we saw Jesus give us a way forward. The reason I ask is these two passages before us today, the lectionary passages for Easter, in each of them, boundaries are crossed. The first and most obvious is the boundary of death. Death, the final frontier, the ultimate boundary. Cross it and there is no way back. Except on Easter Sunday, we believe and announce that Jesus not only crossed that boundary, but came back. That makes him unique, makes his experience unique, and above all else, seals the claim that he is not only a human being, but he is God, and God completely. Now, I know there are those who've had near-death experience. I have read of people who've experienced traveling a tunnel towards a light and feeling invited back and have turned and have left. I have read experience of those who've left their bodies on an operating table and hovered above and then returned. I know that there are people who've died for a few seconds and have been brought back to life. But for Jesus, it was different because Jesus died, was buried. And on the morning of the resurrection, the women went to the tomb that had been blocked with a stone, a huge stone at the entrance, and the body was gone. When it came to Easter Sunday, the first boundary we see crossed is that of death itself. All the stories we tell of faith, all the stories we tell of God and what he has done, culminate and begin here, because this is the most significant story of all. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the phrase, "that's what it's all about." I think too often people say it too glibly. I think too often they say it of things, actually, that it's not what it's all about. But when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, in the context of Christian faith, that is what it's all about. This one event, this crossing of this one boundary, it is from this point that all that we understand of the gospel message emerges. Because it is the good news that we proclaim, that Jesus is risen from the dead. But while by far this is the most significant boundary crossed, other boundaries are crossed here as well. Traditionally, the Easter Sunday reading is from John's Gospel and is read on Easter Day. The Acts passage is not so traditional for Easter Day. We often read it in other contexts. But both of these passages speak of crossing boundaries. And perhaps the most significant, at least in John's Gospel, is the fact that Jesus crosses a boundary when it comes to relationship between men and women. I've forgotten how many preachers I've heard it said that if you were a preacher in the first century, if you wanted to get a message out there, if you wanted to publicize your message, you wouldn't give it to a woman first to get it out there. And if you wouldn't give it to a woman if you wanted it believed. And the reason you wouldn't do that is because in the first century, a woman's status in Israel was very low. And I've lost count of the number of preachers I have heard underline the fact that the New Testament society was a patriarchal society. Women had such a low status that they're unlikely to believe. And yet, here in John's Gospel, it is to Mary Magdalene that Jesus reveals himself. Other Gospel writers tell it differently, but they all tell the story of how Jesus first shows himself to the women. While this night might not be significant for today, at its time, it was earth-shattering. A boundary had been crossed. The gospel stories are full of this boundary being crossed. Jesus seems to cross it a time and time again. But it raises a question for us. When it comes to boundaries and when it comes to gender, what boundaries do we erect? What boundaries would Jesus have us cross? Now, I know as soon as I raise the question of gender, the debate is a hot topic. And I know in the church that raising that topic is like touching the third rail. Touch it and die. I know that the arguments that are presented for setting boundaries and for crossing them, certainly in respect of the role of women, women play in the scriptures, appear to present both sides of the story. But in the light of the gospel stories, in the light of the resurrection stories where Mary and the other women are the first people to be told, I wonder if nothing else, we should at least have the conversation around the boundaries we place on gender. Now, I say that, and as soon as I say that, I realize I'm setting myself up for a fall. Because as soon as I dare to mention that we should talk about the possibility of talking about the boundaries, there will be some who will refuse to even enter into the conversation. For some, simply mentioning that we might review our boundary lines will be enough for them to up sticks and to leave. Which is why this story from John's Gospel interests me so much. Because the resurrection story is initially one of grief and confusion, not knowing what is happening. On the day of resurrection, Mary Magdalene finds herself at the tomb, and the tomb's empty. And she doesn't know what's happened. And so what's her first thing she does? She goes and tells Peter and John and the other disciples. And what do they do? Well, they clearly don't believe what she said, so they go and check. They rush to the tomb. John hovers outside. Peter rushes in. And then what do? They go home. They see that the tomb is empty, and they go back to where they're staying. They go and get on with their work. Go and get on with whatever they were doing. But Mary stays with it. Mary stays at the tomb. In a moment of grief and of confusion, she doesn't walk away. Unlike in Mark's account of the resurrection, where the women run away for fear, in John's gospel, Mary doesn't. She doesn't go back to where she was. She stays, and in staying, she's able to go beyond her grief and her confusion. She goes beyond the flurry of activity. She goes beyond her initial intentions. In staying, Mary encounters the angels, or the messengers, as we also know them. In staying, Mary is able to pour out her sorrow to them, her confusion to them. And in staying, she eventually encounters Jesus. And that leaves me wondering, in times of sorrow, in times of confusion, in whether when everything in us wants to run away, when everything within us wants to go back to where we were before, I wonder, rather than return, as the Peter and John did, I wonder if staying with our confusion and sorrow, I wonder whether we might actually meet Jesus in it. And in meeting Jesus in it, find a way through. Of course, I know that's easier said than done. I know it's easier said than done to sit with the sorrow, to sit with the confusion. It's much easier to run away. It's much easier to up sticks and to leave. It's much easier to go back to what we once did. And Peter, of all people, encounters how hard it is to stay with it. In the story that John tells us, Peter just leaves Mary to get on with it. In Acts, he finds himself in a place where he can't just run away. Acts 10 is a story is part of a much larger story that we didn't read the whole of. It would take too long. But it's a story that begins with Peter being praying on a rooftop and seeing a vision of a cloak come down with animals that are unclean and hearing a voice come up and eat. And Peter says, no, I can't possibly eat. They're all unclean. And he hears the voice saying, what I say is unclean. What I say is clean is not unclean. The story continues with people coming and calling out for him to take him back to Cornelius's house. Now, Cornelius is a Roman soldier. He's a leader of the army of oppression that is ruling the country. And he's a Gentile. These are good reasons for Peter not to go. And yet he's persuaded to go. And in going, he goes and he has an opportunity to share the gospel, and he sees the coming of the Holy Spirit amongst these people. And in fact, the story doesn't end there, because having crossed the boundary, having effectively put himself in a place where he would be considered a collaborator with the Roman soldiers, having crossed and entered a Gentile house, which he should never do, Peter is called to account. In Acts 11, he has to go before the council in Jerusalem and to give account of why he had gone to Cornelius' house, why he had crossed a social boundary. Why he'd put himself in the place where he could be charged to being a collaborator, why he crossed into the house of a Gentile. And Peter gives account of all that he had experienced. Go back to Acts 10, when he goes to the house of Cornelius and he shares the gospel with them. The Holy Spirit comes down, and Peter suddenly realizes, in crossing a boundary, He's opened up a new mission field. When we read, Peter says this, he says, I now realize that God does not show any favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does right. By crossing the boundary, by staying with it, and he is able to see God at work in a new way. Of course, just as it's easy to cross a boundary, we can quite easily slip back across it. And Peter does exactly that. And Paul calls him out from it. In Galatians 2, 11 to 14, Paul calls Peter out of the fact that he'd been willing to cross the Jewish-Gentile boundary, and yet now he was back saying that only Jews, only those who were circumcised could be saved. And it leaves me wondering. Leaves me wondering if we have all called to cross a boundary, have we crossed back? Where are the boundaries that Jesus is taking down and trying to build? And in doing so, are we trying to restrict unknowingly the spread of the gospel and the point of growth of the church? This is Easter Sunday. This is the day of great celebration. It's a day we declare that Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus crosses the boundary of death. A boundary none of us can cross. Have we got a problem with the sound? However, it's not the only boundary that we declare today. Because having first revealed himself to Mary, Jesus crosses another social boundary, a boundary of gender. And in that story itself, we see the fact that Mary's staying in the tomb, where Peter goes back, in staying with it, she is able to unlock something new. A belief that Jesus truly had risen from the dead. We see with Peter that as he stays with it in the story from Acts, he's able to cross another boundary, a social boundary, and goes to the house of Cornelius and shares the gospel and sees a whole mission field open up. A mission field that will be extremely fertile and see the meteoric rise of the church and see the gospel taken to throughout the entire world. And this story of Easter Sunday is about crossing boundaries. But it's also a story about resilience, of staying with the difficulties long enough to see Jesus lead us through. It's staying with it long enough and working through it that we understand where Jesus would want us to cross a boundary. And it helps us to remember not to retreat, not to rebuild that which Jesus has called us to cross. And so as we emerge from this third lockdown, I wonder what boundaries we are faced with. And facing them, I wonder whether we will turn away or whether we will face them. I wonder whether we will face them or be tempted to withdraw and go back to what we used to do. I wonder if we will find our effort, something within us that can stay with it until we see where Jesus would lead us. And as a result, see the church flourish and grow. And so on this day that we celebrate the resurrection and we remember that Jesus has risen from the dead, I wonder what boundaries we are faced with. And I wonder how we will approach them. Amen.